it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where over the past 6 years and 400 plus shows now, I've tried to help people understand how complex we are as human beings, because we all know we have a physical side. And without that working properly, the rest of it's a little hard to come into being. But we're emotional. We certainly are spiritual by nature. And by that, I mean just connecting to a higher power. It might even be just being part of nature, because we're frequencies, and that frequency works with animals and it works with plants as well as people. You've walked into a room before, I'm quite sure, and noticed the vibrational frequency that's in that room. And it's either really upbeat and positive, or maybe it's very heavy. So we're aware of those things. And those frequencies impact us on a cellular level, which a lot of people are just now beginning to understand. And then we're intellectual. And I tell people that I hope that people are growing right up until the very end of their life, that as they transition into that spirit form, you know, you're kind of going, wow, this is what I thought it would be. Or, wow, this isn't anything like I thought it would be. But that you're learning right up until the very end of your life. So, you know, every day, try to learn one new thing. And it doesn't have to be about anything in particular. It could be something on television, something in a book, something that you see outside that you're learning. But learn something new every day of your life. So I have as a first-time guest today, Dr. John Lewis, and we're going to be talking about the importance of polysaccharides and how they impact your health in a lot of different ways. But before we do that, when you go to the website, which is synergyconnectionradio.com, that's where you'll find all of the shows archived. And it's under show notes. That's where you find them. You click there, and there's 34 pages, I think, of shows now with a variety of different links and a small synopsis of each show. So that way you can read a little bit about the guest and what they're saying and figure out if that's a show you want to listen to. Secondly, there is a link to Boomers Forever Young. And Boomers has been the sponsor of the Synergy Connection Show this entire time for those 6+ years. I've used their products for the last 8 years, and I think it's what kept me incredibly healthy during the COVID crisis. I was one of those people that basically refused to take the vaccine because I know how to keep myself healthy, and I knew the vaccine was not going to be good for me. But there are some people that obviously needed it because they had pre-existing conditions, and maybe those conditions were going to make them incredibly at risk. But and they maybe didn't have as much knowledge as I do or as John does about how to stay healthy. So that's what our show is going to be talking about today, is the way to keep you healthy, optimally healthy. But if you do go onto Boomer's website, there is a brand new creation, I'm going to call it, invention by a man by the name of Eric Kurtz. And it's called Myotrol, M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. Myotrol is for stamina, it's for strength. But I will tell you that we are having some amazing testimonies that are coming through on Myotrol with people that have autoimmune disorders. And there's quite a few different categories of autoimmune disorders. But the Myotrol is lessening the effects, including people that have Lyme's disease, people that have MS, people that have, I'm trying to think of the one that's so common and I'm drawing a blank on it right now, but there's a lot of different autoimmune disorders that are responding very well to Myotrol. So remember that with these products, if you type in my first name, L-U-C-Y, the company does give you 15% off of whatever you're ordering. Secondly, read the testimonies. Click on the product, go through, read the testimonies. You may find that there's something that would be good for you to try. And everything is 60 days guaranteed. So you can, test drive these products, see what it does for you. If it doesn't do anything, send back the empty bottle and they'll credit your account. So I do think this is a cutting edge company. The technology is very different with it, and I certainly have benefited by using the Boomer products. All right, so we're going to begin with John, and John is the founder and president of Dr. Lewis Nutrition. And he's very passionate about educating people in regard to not only nutrition, but supplementation, which I'm thrilled with because a lot of doctors, and John isn't an MD, but a lot of doctors don't really think much about supplementation. I mean, they're all about buy it at the grocery store. But the reality is that the soil that our forefathers had 100 years ago is not there today. So you're not getting the minerals, you're not getting the vitamins that once were in the soil. So you're kind of eating empty calories as I look at it. And supplementation is probably about the only way that you're going to stay really healthy. The two numbers, and John and I haven't talked about this, but the two numbers that I tell everyone that they absolutely have to know is your C-reactive protein, which is the level of inflammation in your body. Mine at the last count was 0.01. And the other one is your D3. And even if we can be in sunshine, it has to be on bare naked skin. And what do most of us do? We put on sunscreen. We're in houses, in cars, in buildings. We're not out in the sun all that often. And that's your immune system. And so a lot of people, that immune function, if a medical doctor's looking at it, it goes healthy in terms of what they look for from 35 to 100. But if you don't have something that's 70 or above, you're going to come down with everything that walks in the door. And so your immune function has to be at least at 70. Again, last count, mine was at 86. So I'm pretty comfortable with, where my immune function is and where my inflammation level is. But if you know those two numbers as your base, then you're going to be able to probably stay healthy for a lot longer in life. And then use supplements like John's going to talk about, and nutrition in general, and exercise. Those are kind of the things that are going to keep you healthy. So, welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Lucy, for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you. I listened to your TEDx talk, and the one that was Miami that was on Alzheimer's and using nutrition, because everybody is terrified of coming down with dementia or Alzheimer's, either one. And it is so true that in our, as advanced as we are in our technology, people that are in the medical profession are so afraid to not use pharmacy. And I know my husband died of cancer 7 years ago, and his oncologist told me at the time that I kept him alive at least 3.5 years longer than he would have lived otherwise. And that's because I was using nutrition to counteract everything they were doing to him. So if you don't have nutrition and you're going through radiation, chemotherapy, and whatever else they're throwing at you, you don't have a chance, because those things are going to kill you for sure. And people do not understand that. So what is your, I guess, experience in working? You left research, from what I gathered, for the simple reason that you got so disappointed in what you were finding out that nobody was willing to even look at to speak of. I mean, it was like, yeah, but
Basically, well, I spent about 20 years at the University of Miami Medical School, Miller School of Medicine. I'm still a voluntary professor there, but I left full time. It's hard to believe it's actually going to be 7 years in a couple of months. It's hard to believe it's already been that much time has passed. But I got so burned out, Lucy, on basically this process. People people tend to think that professors live in this ivory tower, the so-called ivory tower. You're in this kind of bubble that you're insulated from the so-called real world. Let me tell you, if you're the kind of professor where maybe you're teaching undergraduate tuition pays either 100% or 95% of your salary, and maybe you do a little administrative work. That's one animal of professor. The animal of professor that I was the most dog eat dog environment you can imagine, other than maybe politics at the federal level, because you are expected to raise money like no one's business. If you do not raise money, I mean, forget the saying, if you don't publish, you perish. If you don't bring in money, you perish. Publication is the easiest part of being a research scientist at a university. That's cake. I mean, I can publish articles all day long. I have going on 190 peer-reviewed articles to my credit. So that's publish or perish is kind of silly to me. If you're not bringing in money to do your research, you will not last. And so at a very conservative, conventional place like the University of Miami, which most medical schools are, I mean, I don't even know that there's a medical school of 100, whatever we have, 140, 150 in this country. I don't even know that there's not, a conventional conservative medical school from the orientation of getting funding from big pharma. They all do. But I was in a center of, let's say 10, 11, 12,000 employees, how many ever we had, not just faculty, but, all the staff and administration. And I can literally count on this many hands, I'm holding up both of my hands, the number of people like myself who was conducting research in either nutrition, dietary supplements, or exercise, in my case, all three. Everybody else was working on, the typical pharmacology stuff, a lot of people in genetics. And then, you had other specialties that were kind of fringe in behavioral, whatever. But there was, in the University of Miami has no center or department or school of nutrition or dietetics or anything like that. So my ability to create this pretty good, without sounding like I'm bragging too much, but with this pretty good program of research that I had at the time of my departure was simply due to my own passion, my own interest, my own motivation in creating something like that through the help of a few like-minded colleagues. But it was not from like this massive institutional support. And so circling all of that back to your comment about Alzheimer's and how terrified people are of losing their mind essentially through Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. When we published our first paper from our study back in 2013, where I was literally on top of the world, I had made what I thought was some incredible discoveries, or we had made, I should, it wasn't a one-man show here, but I was the lead author on our first paper. But when I started applying for more money to extend our research, which, oh, by the way, the only reason I'm even having the opportunity to talk to you about this research is through the generosity of one family who lost four family members to Alzheimer's disease. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even be sitting here talking to you about this today. But I tried two times with NIH, two times with the Alzheimer's Association, showing them what we had done, showing them our work, showing what the potential of it was. And I got a big old goose egg in response. I got nothing. And so in 2013, we published that first article. I'm on the top of the world. I'm on cloud nine thinking that this is going to be massive. And then over the course of that next 4 year period from 13 to 17 and wrapping up all of my studies and, just kind of putting ties around everything that I had going. I had a lot of studies at that time going, but I left because I just refused to spend the next whatever I have left, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of my life, begging a bunch of bureaucrats for money to do research in nutrition when they don't value it. And I don't care what they say publicly. Maybe with the new administration, with RFK taking over as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, maybe some of that will change. I'm very optimistic. He's certainly somebody that I respect and admire for what he is trying to do. But that one man is facing an incredible amount of inertia and bureaucracy that he has to overcome. I don't know how successful he'll be, but But let's hope, you know, let's hope and see how he performs and what he does. But at that time, you know, again, we're talking, it's hard to believe it's been over 10 years ago, actually. But at that time, I got nothing. And so I just said to myself, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life. I'm not wasting my time, essentially, you know, struggling and pinching. I mean, Lucy, you want to talk about a tough job. I mean, anybody, any of your listeners who knows anything about running clinical trials, which is what I did, where you're enrolling humans into interventional studies, I'm going to tell you, that is some of the hardest work, one of the most difficult professions on the planet. I mean, regardless of, you know, any other considerations you want to make. And so it was really challenging running studies like that for about 2 decades. And I just got to the point where I said, I'm done with it. I can't continue giving my best energy, my best part of my life to something that I've, you know, although, and I don't want to sound bitter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bitter about my experience, because I wouldn't be where I am today without going through all of that. But just to continue going down that road where the kind of work you're doing is not valued, is not appreciated, is not accepted from that conventional paradigm, that's where I just had to disconnect myself. And so even though I keep that voluntary appointment where I work with some students, I do a little teaching, you know, I like having that affiliation just as a side piece, if you will, of my life. But the main piece of my life now is moving forward and, you know, what I do with supplements from the work that my colleagues and I did in all of those years of looking at how effective these polysaccharides are for human health, and then continuing to educate people and spreading this message, because it is very powerful and it's very profound. And so I continue having this sort of desire that I'll say when I have the money, not if I have the money, but when I have the money, I have intention of continuing that research. It's just for the last decade, we haven't had the funding to do an ongoing clinical trial to extend our work. But the four publications that we have from the Alzheimer's study and the three publications that we have from the multiple sclerosis study combined, I would put all of that information up against anything else out there in terms of what we created out of that as a dietary supplement that we call Daily Brain Care, and then how that can be so beneficial for people in his or her life. It's just truly phenomenal. And so it's been a tough road, as the Beatles said, a long and winding road. But I'm happy to be on it, and I'm happy to be here with you today to share this message.
So if somebody, let's say in their 50s, which that would be pretty early for onset, but it does happen, what could they begin to do when you talk about exercise and supplementation and their diet? I realized you have a product for, was it Daily Brain Care?
Yes.
Okay, so you would have that, but obviously it needs to be more than just that.
Of course.
One of the big things I know that boomers found out was the importance of muscle mass, that you lose 1% of muscle mass every year after 50. And
That's
so
right.
A lot of people, by the time they're 70, 75, they've lost 20, 25%, which is why they fall and break hips and do other things. So what are you finding, you know, from where you're coming from that is important for all of those areas?
Well, you're also talking to a person who in his 20s was a drug-free competitive bodybuilder. So,
oh, wow. Cool.
So I'm right there with you. Even though I'm not getting up on a stage in a bikini anymore and flexing in front of people, I still train every day like a bodybuilder. That's the kind of routine that I enjoy the most. It just makes me feel so good, both physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. And then I've just, you know, this has been my life now over the last 30 plus years of focusing on, I mean, there are a lot, as you know, there are lots of pillars, if you want to call them that, for health. But my three pillars that I've focused on are diet, dietary supplementation, and exercise. And in random order, if you will, of importance, I would say that, you know, the polysaccharides from Daily Brain Care, I would put up against just about anything else, the ones that come from aloe vera and rice bran, in terms of their health promoting benefits. So I mean, that's one piece of this, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you cannot supplement your way to good health. So my three pillars are I've eaten a plant-based diet now. This is my 27th year of eating a plant-based diet. Like most Americans, I grew up eating for taste, not for health. We're all Southerners. My family, we ate a lot of beef, a lot of dairy, a lot of fried food. We still ate plenty of fruits and vegetables, but we didn't exactly eat for health, in my opinion. And of course, all of my grandparents, their siblings, my father, they all died of the typical killers of Americans, mostly heart disease, a few that had cancer, but almost all of them had some form of heart disease. And so if you look at the information, there are lots of very good studies and very good articles out of those studies over the last couple of decades. And I know this completely is contrarian to the carnivore keto paleo crowd who are, these people are pushing all of this meat, which is just, I can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, even this idea that humans are supposed to be carnivores to me is just about the most ludicrous idea I have heard of anything in nutrition marketing, because it's not nutrition science, in my opinion, it's nutrition marketing over the last, whatever couple of decades. I mean, if you go all the way back to Atkins wrote his book, I think it was in 72. I forget the title of his book, but he was promoting all of this, high protein, high fat diet that he later then turned into the Atkins diet, I think in the 90s. And then, irony of ironies, that guy died of heart disease. So imagine that. And he was very overweight too. So clearly, either he was not practicing what he preached, or he succumbed to his own particular philosophy. But my view is that he started something that then kind of became, I don't know, paleo, keto. I guess paleo maybe was a little bit before keto. Then keto really took off like about 10 years ago. And then somehow that has morphed into carnivore over the last few years. And I just, to me, I can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, I can share with these people article after article showing the more you eat animal protein compared to plant protein, the more you're turning on all of these growth factors. You're increasing your rate of aging. You're turning off all of the anti-inflammatory aspects of you talked about immune system earlier, all of these different things. You're actually shifting those in the direction that you don't want to be in from a longevity perspective. If you're talking about somebody who's morbidly obese that weighs 400 pounds, and you're trying to shift that person's endocrine metabolic switch, and you put them on a keto, paleo, carnivore version of that stuff for a short period of time, well, sure, that might help them lose some weight, but is it because they're gorging themselves on all this animal food, or is it because they're hypocaloric? I mean, to me, that also gets lost in their argument, but again, I'm not here to argue. People can do whatever they want. It's a free country. I just, to fully answer your question, I mostly eating a plant-based diet, taking certain key dietary supplements. You mentioned vitamin D, especially even for people that even get out in the sun, let alone the people that don't. Things like daily brain care that I would put my research up against anybody, and then daily exercise and physical activity. I mean, to me, these are like the three cornerstones. Of course, you need to drink plenty of good, clean, filtered water. You need to sleep 6 to 8 hours per day. You need to manage your stress. You need to not use tobacco or smoke. If you're smoking today, my goodness, what is wrong with you? Why in the world would you use tobacco today? And then even things like alcohol, which, I don't profess to be too knowledgeable about all that research, but I've read quite a bit of research over the last 5 to 10 years showing that this notion that having your glass of red wine every day for dinner is not exactly the healthiest strategy, especially for women. You actually elevate your risk of breast cancer. So I don't really, I mean, I personally don't drink alcohol. I haven't for about, I don't know, 13, 14 years. It's been a long time, but, and I wasn't even that much of a drinker anyway prior to that, but I don't subscribe to this notion that having a glass of red wine with dinner every night is actually part of a health promoting strategy. There's actually quite a bit of research that suggests that is not true. So that's probably where I would fall out with, say, for example, the Mediterranean diet. Those guys still advocate for red wine as part of a healthy lifestyle. I just don't There's too much research that suggests even just a little bit of drinking alcohol elevates your cancer risk, especially for women. So I don't subscribe to that notion. But again, my life and my profession is really focused on supplementation and the diet and the exercise portions of these things.
So a person that would be, I don't know, let's just say 50 and up in that bracket, because I realize younger people that are, you know, still in their 30s and 40s, a lot of times they're busy with a lot of different things, including raising their children. But somebody that is 50 and over, what are you thinking would be a good lifestyle approach to them? Walking, swimming, bicycling? I mean, they're probably not very often going to be running to the gym and working out with weights, but you can use bands at home.
That's
and
right.
do resistance training. But what are your thoughts on that part?
Well, in fact, you can see behind me, of course, your radio listeners won't know, but I have a band system. When COVID shut all of, or when these bureaucrats shut all of our gyms down, I had to pivot because I didn't have my gym anymore. They were all closed. And so I'd never had any real inventory of equipment at home. And so I found this particular system that I've been using now since that would be April of 20, I guess. So it's been close to 5 years now. It's hard to believe too, but
that's hard to believe.
I would tell, especially for your women listeners, a lot of times women have this misconception that, oh, I don't want to weight train because I'll lose my femininity, or I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was a bodybuilder. You know, this kind of a notion. A lot of women tend to believe that they're going to suddenly look like a man. And that's not, I mean, you've got to be like, you know, a one in a million genetic freak as a woman for that to happen, or you're a woman who's taking drugs, because women just don't make enough testosterone to have that kind of muscularity. I mean, it just, the average woman is never even going to become close to that. So I tell women all the time, don't have this misconception about testosterone and muscular hypertrophy. It's just not going to happen for you, but it's so important, not only for your muscle mass, but your bone mineral density, and then all of the other benefits that we now know that, whereas cardiovascular exercise research kind of grew out of the cardiac rehab discipline back in the 60s. And then, of course, it really advanced in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But meanwhile, as much as you can criticize all of those bodybuilders for all of their drug use and whatnot, they actually had it right in the sense of the type of exercise training to not only have the strength and the power and the muscle mass and the bone mineral density effects, but also a lot of the other things have now been shown that were historically only thought to happen with cardiovascular or aerobic training. You actually get a lot of those cardiovascular, cardiorespiratory effects from weight training as well. So to me, and again, this is just, you know, how I approach my life, I do weight training every day or strength training every day. And then once a week, sometimes twice a week, if I can squeeze it in, I go to the track and I actually sprint. And I don't, but beyond that, I mean, I feel like I'm getting such a good combination of elevating my heart rate, elevating my blood pressure, elevating my respiration, all these things that, again, you classically get from just taking a walk or running or cycling or swimming or all of those other types of activities that you do, you know, again, that you classically only thought you could get in aerobic training, but you actually get that in weight training or strength training as well. So I would tell people, and again, if somebody maybe, as you're, you know, alluding to, this person who is 50 plus, maybe hasn't done anything since high school, you know, so we're talking a few decades of basically being sedentary. What we normally recommend is you start out low and you increase slow, you know, just kind of as a meme. So what does that mean? That means you maybe start out just walking and you don't even try to really push yourself. You just maybe put a pedometer on and you measure your steps, but you get out in your neighborhood or you go to the track or some community area or the zoo or wherever you can go, and it's got a long trail or a long path. Mm-hmm. And then you try to hit your 10,000 steps every day. That's a number that's mostly been shown to be related to increased health benefit. But, you know, again, that's also a, it's not a gold standard in the sense of you, there is a level of intensity in there that's also that has to be adhered to, or at least you're trying to adhere to it. But again, if you've been sedentary for years or decades, just start out walking every day. I mean, most people can afford a decent pair of sneakers, a decent pair of walking shoes that they can utilize for that. And then again, just start working your way up, whether that means greater in frequency, number of days per week, greater time, amount of time that you're walking, or the increasing your speed. You know, all of those variables that you can use as part of your equation of moving yourself up. And then as you feel like you're sort of building up a little bit of stamina, a little bit of strength, a little bit of better functional ability, at that point, you really need to start figuring out how you can do some strength training, because as much as walking is great for people, it has nothing, it really has nothing to do with increasing your muscular strength. Mm-hmm. So try to do that as, you know, often as you can. I mean, there's no downside to doing it like I do every single day of the week, unless I'm in an airplane or really sick, but at least 3 or 4 days per week. I mean, that's typically the minimum recommendation that, say, for example, American College of Sports Medicine or American Heart Association will recommend. So I would say start out with your walking, maybe moving up to jogging or something a little more vigorous as you start developing some fitness level, and then start branching into your weight training. And don't forget flexibility. You want to make sure you're stretching, and because flexibility training is another part of that. And then just try to be as comprehensive as you can when you start weight training. Make sure that you only, you know, you're not only focused on, you know, your arms or your chest or your back or your legs. You gotta do the whole body. So make sure you're not neglecting any of the big muscle groups.
Do you ever send somebody to a special site so they can learn how to do these if they don't have a trainer that's working with them?
You know, we used to have a really nice set of videos on our website that I demonstrated. Of course, this was in a gym setting, so it'd be a bit different if it was somebody trying to do something at home. But I had actually demonstrated every major exercise so that people could understand how to try to do that. But no, I don't really, at this point in my business career, I'm not really doing a whole lot of one-on-one work. I'd have to get back to you on that, if what would be a good resource where somebody could go and look at all the various exercises just to get an idea of how to perform them properly. I
and
can't
do
think
you
of a
use
resource
stretch
off the top
bands
of my
as
head.
well as small weights, or a combination?
Absolutely. So, you know, some kind of bands that similar to the system that I'm using now, or you can mm-hmm. easily go to, you know, like Dick's Sporting Goods or someplace else and get like some simple dumbbells or some other weighted appliances. I mean, of course, Amazon has all kinds of stuff like that as well. So you can pretty easily find, and these are not expensive purchases. I mean, these are things that just about anybody can afford. So I would say any kind of resistance appliance or dumbbell that you can buy would be something that you could start off with. And then if people get motivated, they really get into it, then at that point, you'll realize pretty quickly that, hey, I'm kind of outpacing what I can do here at home. So join LA Fitness or World Gym or Gold Gym or Planet Fitness. You know, there are obviously lots of big franchises around the country where they can go and really have an opportunity to utilize a lot of different equipment.
Right. Well, our show is pretty much done for the day, and you've got a wealth of information. So I'd like to have you come back in a couple of months, and we can kind of continue where we're leaving off. With your particular product on brain health, where would they go to purchase that? Is there an outlet, or do they contact you, or what?
No, go to drlewisnutrition.com. We have daily brain care, both in powder and capsules, on our website. So that's DR, no period, Lewis, LEWIS, nutrition.com. And it's got a ton of information on it, of blog posts, of podcast appearances like I'm doing with you today, all sorts of research articles we've written, great descriptions of daily brain care. I mean, it's literally a treasure trove of information. And then we're on all the typical social media handle channels as well. Dr. Lewis Nutrition. It's just that, you know, most of those media, social media channels don't have a lot of in-depth information. They're mostly just short videos or links to the podcast. But I would recommend go to our website first, and then you know you can buy from there and get started on the benefits of this amazing product that I've spent my life creating.
Thank you so very much. And I want to remind everybody to please share the show with family and friends. We have regular listeners, and I'm hoping that they do go out there and share with other people in their family and network of friends. I will talk to you again in a few months. But in the meantime, I hope that everyone has a wonderful day out there and make it your best one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.